We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
What's up, y'all? It's Drewski, and I've teamed up with Mountain Dew to produce a hilarious new basketball podcast called The Dew Zone with Drewski. Learn the backstories of your favorite ballers and celebrities like Jamal Murray.
Did you have like a favorite team? Was it the Raptors at the time or no? Was the Raptors even started around that time?
Come on, bro.
I ain't that old, fam. You're talking like I'm 50.
Taylor Rooks, Asia Wilson, and many more. You won't want to miss this. Listen to The Dew Zone with Drewski on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you listen to podcasts.
The sound of the final buzzer means it's hangover time. So grab a drink and join your host, Alphonse Sidney, for a Miami Heat Beat post-game show.
Heat win! Heat win! That's like 10 of the last 11. Like, listen, I'm going to warn you, there will be some negative comments about the Heat on this podcast, on the show. But at the end of the day, we all do realize that the Heat have won 10 of their last 11. Jimmy Butler is making a fantastic case to be top 3 to 5 in the MVP race. You saw some good things out of Kelly Olynyk tonight. You saw Tyler Hero become fourth quarter Tyler again. Duncan Robinson, buoyed you for a little stretch. And they survived bad games by both Kendrick Nunn and Goran Dragic, which I think is really, really super important, right? Because one of the things we've been talking about a lot lately is that the Heat can't survive bad games from Goran and Kendrick. And they did that tonight. And no Bam, of course, right? And then Vooch and then Terrence Ross, that sorry son of a bitch. And he's just trash all the time until he plays Miami Heat. Like Hall of Fame random scrub Heat killer Terrence Ross. I mean, he was making Steph Curry-style shots out the corner. I don't know what to do with him. But I think Spo did, because in the fourth quarter, Spo said, Jimmy, take Terrence out the game. And Terrence was out the game. So, Brash, bring me out. Let's talk about this game with everybody. And first we're going to ask, what's everybody drinking? All right, so we are going to go around the horn. We have a Sunday cast of characters here tonight. Thank you guys for showing up. A lot of people bailed on us because it's Sunday night. They're getting ready they got that Monday anxiety. But you guys came through. Siobhan, what are you drinking tonight? Siobhan's muted.
What's your computer drinking tonight, Siobhan?
All right, so we'll go to Tiff and we'll come back to Siobhan. Tiff, what are you drinking tonight?
My bad.
Okay, yes, go ahead, Siobhan. What are you drinking tonight?
I want some of what you're drinking. Let's
go. So I don't know what my computer is drinking, but I would like some of that. I double fisted, brought it back. We got some Kindle and some Jack Daniel's rye and ginger beer.
Love it. Double fisted right after a Heat win. Tiff, it's Sunday. Work soon come.
Yes, it does.
You have children. Are you drinking tonight?
I'm just easing into the night with this nice little frosty beverage.
Okay. That's all you need. No need to get crazy. It's Sunday. It's the Lord's Day. I'm drinking Kettle One and Sprite because whether it's the Lord's Day or not, I'm going to be drinking hard liquor. I'm going to go to Brass last because he disappointed me two nights ago. He came back strong yesterday.
We're still bringing this back.
No, you got to do better. You set a standard for yourself. G, what are you drinking tonight? G, who has been booted from Hangover Time and the Weird Al pregame show. But we let you. We like to have you back on occasion. What are you drinking tonight?
I'm having straight Pisco. So Pisco on the rocks.
Pisco?
I love Pisco.
You gotta go to work tomorrow?
Yeah.
Pisco's rough.
It's really good.
I love Pisco, but that's, you know, I got Peruvian friends. You know, when we hit that Pisco, it's, you know, we're not trying to go to work for a couple of days. But all
it's
right.
One of my favorite things to drink straight. Like, just, it's so good.
You don't wake up till noon anyway.
True.
Someone said I lost it when E Reed said Air Bomba. E Reed coming for niggas next this year. Like, he is not playing. E Reed doesn't give a fuck. Brass, what are you drinking tonight? Right. Let me see some.
I am drinking I made a tiki drink tonight.
So
I made a piñata. Which is let's see if I, it's some dark rum, some white rum, pineapple juice, ginger liqueur, lemon juice, and some other shit, some allspice dram and some simple syrup. It's good. Just a little simple drink. It's good.
Listen, and that's all I ask. You know what I'm saying? Come with some, because I just drink liquor in one mixer. I appreciate when you come with something fancy. You got the tiki, a special tiki cup. It's amazing.
Look, this little thing, it's got the little Kyle Lowry booty on this thing. Do you recognize that, G?
I can't.
Look at that.
It's the straw for me, Alf. That. Alf, it's the straw for me, though.
Let me see that straw again.
I got a little bamboo straw.
Just, is it real you bamboo? Got all kind, just all kinds of shit at the crib, ready to go. I love it.
I texted Brass the other day asking him for like shaker advice, and Brass was like really mean to me. He's like, well, "What kind of shaker is it?" And I was like, "I don't know." He's, "How do you not know?" Like, Brass is like this elitist.
Brass is a cocktail elitist. Not gonna lie to you,
motherfucker. But yet, if I come in with something on the rocks, you give me shit for days.
Yeah, exactly. You don't set a standard. But yeah, I've been out in these streets drinking with Brass. He will drink whatever. Like he does like a nice drink, but he will get down. You know,
it doesn't matter what it is. New Orleans is a prime example of that. But
we were drinking Crown and Monster at 10 o'clock in the morning in New Orleans. But that's a story for another time. That's gonna be that's a Patreon only episode.
Nobody only.
But listen, tonight you saw the Heat's defense
What? No, I gotta defend myself here. How am I gonna be drinking out of that cup, making fun of Solana?
Oh,
I'm not gonna have that. Stop that right now.
No,
because what I'm drinking has a ton of shit in it, and a ton of good shit in it, and a ton of alcohol in it. What Solana drinks don't have any of that shit. All right,
no,
this is
seltzer.
A serious drink. This will fuck you up. So I am not going to take that kind of slander. Whoa. So let's move it on. Al,
Brass,
tell
us
about this game.
Don't let them come for you like that.
Not doing it.
You ain't Blake Griffin and they ain't E. Reed. don't stand for that kind of shit.
Let's go.
Once again, what I want to talk to you guys about is because we complain a lot on the show about the Heat, because I think there's a lot of things that, listen, when it comes to beating a team like the Magic without Aaron Gordon, without Fournier, and once again, you're stuck in a tight game with 6 minutes left. Like, I mean, the theme of the last 3 weeks of the Heat season is 1 point game or tie game with 6 minutes left. Like, that's just been the theme. And then Jimmy Butler turning into a god. And just taking you home, right? And what we've been complaining about is it shouldn't be this hard against some of these teams. But once again, in 2021, the Miami Heat have held the team under 100 points. Like, this defense is absolutely elite. I don't care who they're playing. What, you know, I don't want to hear excuses of weak competition. It is an absolutely elite defense, even without Bam Adebayo, because on other nights, these crappy teams are still scoring 120. Mm-hmm. But they come against the Heat and they, you know, we're holding teams under 101, 102, 97, 95. Now we're only scoring 102, 104 ourselves. But at the end of the day, it's resulting in wins, Tiff. This is an elite defense. Instead of – let's not crush them tonight for barely beating the Magic. Let's just talk about the fact that when their offense is shit and suffering, it almost doesn't matter because they ain't letting you score either.
Right. You know what else is showing us? That they can play like this with Bam. And they can play like this with Bam under the basket. So the same intensity that these guards are bringing – every night without him, they got to bring that with him because then you can like take a little pressure off of him because they're showing us that they can play elite defense.
Elite defense. And G, we're talking like Tiff is saying they're doing this without Bam. So they're and I don't care what level of professionalism you get to when you have a safety net of a guy like Bam there. There's a tendency for guys like Kendrick, guys like Tyler, to, you know, to not fight through a screen because there's an all-world defensive player that's going to pick this man up, right? You get, you know, if you get crushed by a Mo Bamba screen, you can, you know, Bam is going to be behind you to pick up Terrence Ross, right? But it's Bam isn't there, so I just feel like these guys are making more of an effort to fight through these screens, making more of an effort to contest, close out. I don't. Is it an effort thing? Is it a scheme thing? What is it that you see with the Heat's defense?
Well, I think with Kendrick, I mean, he was playing a lot better defensively even when Bam was in the game, like when he was healthy. So I think with Kendrick, it was kind of like he lost his rotation spot and he played really well and earned it back. I think guys like Tyler have been a little dinged up, and I think kind of this has been the first game that I think he looked a lot springier, looked more like himself, had a dunk. So I disagree with you a little bit on that. I think that some of it's guys getting healthy and some of it's guys just being in the right spot. And I think kind of Jimmy being back kind of puts everybody in the right spots. He's been off ball a lot. He's helping a lot, kind of getting in the paint, digging and closing back out to shooters. I do think that they're playing a lot harder, but I think that's just been a general thing since Jimmy's come back. I don't think it's, you know, with Bam or without Bam.
I want to address this Leo guy because I got time tonight. I want you to go back, Leo, right? Because Brass Jazz cuts clips of these shows, makes best of. I want you to go back, Leo, and I dare you to find anybody on Hangover Time calling Precious Achiuwa a future star. I dare you to find that fucking audio. And that is not a thing we've said. So shut the fuck up and just enjoy the show with your hating ass. Anyway.
We like Precious.
But how many times have we said the first good deal, send that motherfucker and his dreads up out of here? Listen, like, don't act like this is a show over here riding the Precious train. Like, calm the fuck down. Like, damn, y'all just be out here hating for no goddamn reason.
Wait, Alf. Alf.
I got Alf. Time tonight. I'm sorry.
Alf, are you happy?
No, I'm never fucking happy according to the fucking comments. I live a miserable existence where I ride fucking the Precious train all day long. Siobhan, what do you see with this?
We all had the same thought at the same time.
Oh, I'm sorry. Phrasing. Siobhan.
What's up?
The Heat defense. Do you think it's, and this is a question I have, and I think G probably has analytics to back this up or what. My eye test says that the Heat are slowing things down so much that it's helping their defense and basically making up for their lack of offense. They're playing games in the mud in an era where you're trying to beat teams 120 to 115. I feel like some of the defense that we're seeing is not just great defense. It's also just, you know, slowing a pace down to the point where, yeah, you're going to see these low scores.
Yeah. There was an interesting stat early in the season about, you know, kind of turnovers per game and how it correlated to teams ranking, right? I think for us, we tend to, there was a point where we were like, we could not, you know, keep control over the ball. But then there came a point, like you said, where we started getting less and less possessions because, you know, we are intentionally, deliberately slowing the ball now. We don't have the horses. We don't have the guys. We don't have the guards. There's been so many times where Jimmy's been on the break and looked to his left and right and seen no one with him. So, of course, we're not going to, you know, get that up-tempo type of game. And so slowing the game down does allow you to, you know, get your defense set, you know, a little more quickly and just bog it down. We're slugging it out. And it's already starting to show, like, a sluggish, doggish, hard-fought game is going to show on the body. I'm going to show on the numbers. And I'm happy that we are winning these games now and the games that we should be winning. But I'm always, always in the back of my head thinking about the accumulation of just bludgeoning that, you know, this roster is taking.
Brass, is this like – is the idea of let's basically play this game in the mud till 6 minutes left, 5 minutes left, and just let Jimmy just crush their souls? Like, is this a winning strategy moving forward, or is it like – it'll get you through March and April. You know what I mean? But also, this is playoff basketball too. At the same time,
right?
Yep. I would love to save it for the playoffs.
Right.
Yeah. Right. It works on a game to game basis, but I don't want to have to put Jimmy through that every night.
Right.
Yes.
And I feel like Jimmy loves it. Did you guys see Jimmy on that jump ball?
He's a psycho.
He's an insane person.
Oh, I love that shit.
I've never seen someone get so excited about winning a jump ball.
He loves it, but he's built for that physically. Yeah. Like, he's built to play this way mentally and physically 99% of the time. Yeah. But the combination of the whole team, they're not built for that.
Right. G, do you think that's a strategy that – basically keep it close and let's use our execution at the end of a game to put teams away? Because they did that a lot in the playoffs. Like, this is bubble playoff winning that they're doing. Like, where they just, mm-hmm. you knew at the end of a game, if it was close within 5 minutes, that they were going to execute the shit out of another team and they were going to close it out and they were going to, Jimmy Butler was going to come through. Is it too early for that? Or is it just like, hey, they won 10 out of 11. It's working. This is a good strategy.
Right.
I think the rotations would indicate to me that they just want to survive the non-Jimmy minutes. Like, they're -7 when he sits, +7 when he plays, right? Like, they're really good.
That's insane.
He's great. He's putting almost like Embiid-esque numbers on off. Embiid is like the leading MVP guy. So I think like some of these lineups where you have like Goran and Tyler and Andre are really just trying to like cobble enough scoring plus your good defenders to survive until Jimmy gets back. I think that you kind of see them play calling too. I think it's like really low turnover, risk averse stuff. Like, they just don't want to cough up the lead. You know, I just checked, they're like 11th in assist to turnover ratio since Jimmy came back on January 30th, which is good because they move the ball a lot and they try to get like good shots that way. So I kind of agree with you. I think that, I mean, maybe I'm sure that they don't want to keep it close. I'm pretty sure they want to be up double digits. But, you know, I do think that Spo kind of understands the limitations of this team on offense, and they really just kind of buy some time defensively with enough scoring until Jimmy can come back in the game.
I'm going to address the chat. The chat is saying Gianni sounds depressed. And Gianni sounds sad. You know what Gianni is trying to do? He's trying to mute his personality because he takes over other people's shows.
Fit in, not fit out.
Nah, G. I'm about to.
Hold up,
G. You gonna get? No, we shut the fuck up, G.
No, we don't remember. Stop talking.
Yeah, if you don't be you, I'm gonna have Brass just kick you the hell out.
Like, do I still get paid?
Wouldn't be the first time.
No, sorry.
No, be you. Talk.
Diet soda.
Don't mute yourself.
No.
I'm here. I'm you know,
I don't like, asked you what was wrong before we came on.
I thought last time you were on here, you were drinking the fucking Kool-Aid and you're going.
Yeah.
Was,
be
was,
you.
Now look at you tonight.
Listen, I thought that
I
was.
I want to know. You know what? I want to get you riled up.
Yeah, get him riled up.
Jimmy Butler for MVP speech. If you had to make the case for it, because you were banging this drum. Before, I love you, Cortez, but before Cortez, before anybody, you were banging the Jim VP drum. What is your case for Jimmy Butler to be, you know, to be in that top five MVP race?
Since he came back on January 30th, the Heat have the number one defense in the league. And that is in large part.
Louder.
Come on, G. More.
They have
more.
The number one defensive rating in the league since he came back. That's over the Lakers, the Warriors, who have been like outstanding on defense this year.
I need Sixers, more from you, G. Come on, baby.
The Sixers with Embiid and Simmons, the mighty Utah Jazz with Rudy Gobert and Donovan Mitchell and all these guys over there.
Almost like, there. Almost.
Act like you're talking about Kyle Lowry. Get him, G. Let's go, man.
Get him. They have. He's, I mean, the plus 14 difference when he's on and off. I think that they have really limited offense with just guys that can't get to the rim. Goran is clearly hobbled. My mom said, watching the game today, she's like, is Goran in pain? Because he looks like he's always crying.
Your mom shows more energy than this. Let's go.
Yeah, come on, let's go.
What he does on both ends of the floor, and he's just not an on-ball guy. And I know Siobhan and Tiff have mentioned this too. Like, just the screening, the moving without the basketball, just getting guys involved, like, legit makes everybody better. Kelly Olynyk shoots 40% when Jimmy's on the court and like 15% when he's off the court.
It's insane. He only makes shots when Jimmy passes it to him.
Well, because like when you have guys, I mean, no offense to like Gabe Vincent or whatever, but like when you get passes at your ankles, and like
exactly.
We joke, but like when we saw with Hassan, like when he's getting like these like not good passes, it was like he was the turnover machine. But like when Dwayne Wade was here, all of a sudden it was like the lob father and shit, you know, like he's getting guys good passes in stride. Like, he's an amazing basketball player, and the numbers he's doing, I read a tweet earlier, like he's doing only what Kawhi Leonard and James Harden are doing this season, and he's doing it on both ends of the floor. I mean, the dude is absolutely insane. They're like a legit winning basketball team. They're tied with the best. I think they might have the best record in the league since he came back, or because they were tied with Brooklyn and with like a top five net rating since. Like, what he's doing is absolutely incredible with his second best player like missing time and his third best player like either hobbled. Hurt or looking lost. Right. Yeah. So
KZ, I want to get MVP right now. Who's the MVP? Who's the MVP right now?
I legit think it's a four-man race between Jimmy.
No, G, say it with your chest.
G, come on.
Who's the MVP right now?
MVP.
Jimmy.
Hey.
There's one number.
You know that retweet number.
There's one number I thought was really interesting. So when Jimmy and Kelly Olynyk are on the court without Bam, the Heat are plus 16 per 100 possessions in almost 250 minutes. And when Bam's, so when it's Bam without Jimmy, they're minus 15.
Mm. Like, Tiff, what do you say to all those numbers?
I'm listening to those.
G, you got Tiff to listen to numbers.
That's the propaganda machine.
Take a swig of that Pisco. Hey, we need that fake drip drop, Brass.
That's I it. Need one
hit
more
it.
Time.
Hit it, with, hit it, Brass, one it. Time.
We're going to hit him with a Jim VP.
By the way, check out the LSO podcast. We got the merch on the website. This shirt that I'm wearing is actually, I drip my drink on it. Little drip drop on my shirt. But this shirt is actually on the website. So unlike the other shirts that we've been wearing that are not on the website right now, but they'll be back. The Hangover Time Drip Drop shirts will be back on the website. So, but check it out. Check out LSO. Check out the LSO podcast. We're going to do an LSO sports takeover of the Hangover Time show one time this week. I'm not sure what we're going to do it. I just got to make sure that Chris Maddox doesn't come with any of his shitty ass takes. Like when he said Mo Harkless is going to be the next Jeremy Grant, and I almost choked.
We knew that.
Yeah, that was a rough one. No
Mo watch tonight. No Mo minutes, man.
No Mo. But you know who we did see tonight? We saw KZ.
Not that many glitches.
Yeah, Siobhan. I mean, what is there to complain about KZ? He was second on the team in plus minus.
He got rebooted.
Yeah. No,
listen, that man hit the restart. Look, I don't really have too much of anything. I don't have anything. Put him in rice. I don't have anything really negative about, you know, KZ at all. He played with length. He played with some force offensively. He looked like he was intentionally trying to get buckets. He had a little sky hook one time. Yeah. A little fake ass sky hook over the lamp. I said, okay, look at you. Go ahead, stuff. That's what I'm talking about. Like, it's so fucking confusing because we see these opposite of glitches, right? We see these sparks, we see these flashes, and then we get it KZ yanked in like the first 3 minutes. I thought he looked good tonight. He looked good defensively. He might have had a block. He just tonight, right, he felt more sure in himself and of himself. And I just wish we could see that more often. It is Orlando Magic, which I'm not going to take anything away from KZ. They're such a fucking strange team. Like, as a team, collectively, they're really bad. But they have, like, decent, serviceable pieces. So, you know, I was happy with what I saw from him tonight.
Yo, I'm going to start calling him Rubik's Cube.
I don't get it. What?
How many people can figure that shit out?
Yeah. You know what it was? I watched KZ tonight, and it was like, and here's what you talk about, inconsistency, figuring it out. Like, you felt him all mm-hmm. night. He was so visible. Yes. Yep. He impacted the game, like, defensively. Like, he was getting blocks. He was all over the place. Like, what? And I honestly, I think that's why you saw Jimmy yell at him the other mm-hmm. night. Like, pay attention, motherfucker.
Yeah.
Like, Jimmy knows what this guy mm-hmm. can do. You know?
More of that.
Listen, before, I want to stop before Leo says we're out here saying he's a future star or anything like that.
Untouchable,
Alf.
He's untouchable.
Yeah, untouchable in trades. Listen, I'd ship his ass out for a bag of chips. But listen, but KZ showed you some shit tonight. You know what I mean? Like, this is one of the things I never understand about Mo Harkless. Mo Harkless will play 12 minutes, and if it wasn't for how hilarious Mo Harkless minutes have become because of Tiffany Meeks, like, I would not even notice Mo Harkless played. Like, this one, that's, like, KZ came out there, he was impactful, he found ways to impact the game, and it's like, it shouldn't be this hard.
I mean, he showed, like, some flashes on ball, KZ did. Mm-hmm. Like, that's kind of why we believed it. Like, I think the defense, yep. I think we figure that he'll figure that out. But the offense was, like, weird. Like, you remember, like, he would, like, mm-hmm. dribble out of the paint for some reason. It was really weird. And today, he, like, made a couple moves, you know, got to the rim, was, like, really going at it. And, like, that's the stuff, like, you need from him. Like, they need a downhill presence. And if he right. can attack a closeout, that changes their offense.
G, take another swig of Pisco.
Mm-hmm.
Is that a good take? Do I get drink one?
It was a fantastic take. I just want you to, I want you to deliver with more energy. Like, usually I got to tell you, like, you know
right. slow down.
Bring down the volume. Like, you get you start getting excited, get this high pitched squeal going.
I read the Apple reviews. That I yell too much.
Ever read your own reviews.
No.
I'm trying to give the listeners a good product.
Or when you get a bad review, just curse them out like I just did.
Or just respond, very thoughtfully and just say thank you.
Yep. Or just say okay, like I've been learning to do.
Okay, okay.
The listeners always
so
right.
much shit.
Yeah,
no, they're not. We're not putting that. Listeners not always
right. No,
remember when they told me I curse too much?
I do remember that.
I ain't changed a fucking thing. Brash Siobhan, you guys.
They asked you to raise their kids.
Yeah, right. they told me I was a bad influence on their children. I said, fuck them kids.
Right.
I told my daughter, don't listen to Al. Fuck Al.
Raise your own goddamn kids. Don't let me raise them. I'll spank.
Whoa.
Oh, sorry. Phrase it.
Siobhan, you got some plays?
What's Siobhan, up, you ready?
Let's go.
You ready?
Let's do this.
Wait. So, yeah.
Just
they look good tonight. There's just some things that just stood out to me that I think we can tighten up on. Boom. So, all right, pause. So, KZ is playing really, really great positional help defense. He's like right above your charge line. In your paint area, he's guarding the penetration. He knows that he has this one behind him near the basket. Go, Brass. Pause. So this play doesn't result in a basket. Vucevic misses this shot, but we see like in the third, fourth quarters, he's not missing that. Kelly, we do that a lot. Kelly is over helping. There's four other people in the paint, and KZ did a really good job at containing and helping and recovering. First play, Kelly should have been out here near Vooch. He's not, he misses, but he doesn't miss, you know, later in the game. Go ahead, you can keep going.
Next clip?
Yep. What's this one? Oh, okay, boom, pause. So they're not trying to switch. He's, I guess, hedging, showing, and recovering. Kelly,
you're supposed
is
to say phrasing instead of pause, by the way.
Did I say pause? Stop it. Stop it. God damn it. So Kelly's supposed to be hedging and getting back or whatever. He's going to end up getting like swiped across the face. What I found interesting here is that when he does recover, he recovers back to topside. Go, Brass. All right, boom, pause. Right, so for real, when this ball was at the wing, that could have been a real good, you know, diagonal high-low entry. It's not. I pointed this out, though, because there's another play subsequently where Jimmy and Kelly get kind of caught on him tagging and recovering, and he not doing it and ends up getting caught topside again and gets scored on. Doesn't happen here, but just some positional things that I think we're good defensively, we can be a little bit better on. Keep going. And then you can let it go to the next one. What's this? Pause. Right, okay, so Precious is guarding the big. Can you start it over? All right, so Precious is supposed to be guarding the big. Same thing, showing supposed to be recovering. Boom, he pops, pause. So Iggy, who's guarding whoever, I don't know these niggas' numbers or their names. I just know them when I see them. So Iggy's supposed to be guarding whoever my man is, number two over
this
on the
is
wing.
Just
he
like
is. Fuck Ross, I know. So he's supposed to be guarding here, but he has to show so that Precious is, guy he's playing, his dive isn't all the way open. But Precious needs to make a more concerted effort into getting back. I think he ends up getting the block, so he does recover. Iggy does a great job, though. He shows, and he gets back. He gets his press play. And I think Precious does recover with this block, yeah. And then the last one is just some...
That block, he's untouchable, I'm just saying.
Oh, yeah. can't fuck with him. Give me
future
the last
star.
One.
Future star. Leo.
Here we go. Next, last clip.
Last one. And this is just some stagnancy on offense. Pause. Start it over just from the top. I don't know what this cut Tyler made is, but he like pause. Boom. He did a great backdoor, but I feel like he cut and could have come back our side to the left corner. He doesn't. He kind of like lingers over there. Kelly gives play. Kelly gives like a half screen, not pause. He just kind of floats into no man's land. He's being guarded by two people. Tyler.
If you're a basketball junkie, then you know there's no better time of year than the NBA playoffs. Twice a week, JJ Redick is cooking on his podcast, The Old Man and the Three. He has guys come on in all stages of their careers to talk about the league and share stories you won't hear anywhere else, including Devin Booker on why he talks so much trash, Ray Allen's epic free throw competitions with LeBron in Miami, and the moment Tyrese Halliburton knew Pascal Siakam would be a good fit in Indy. In addition to player interviews, every Monday, JJ breaks down the top three things happening around the NBA with unmatched analysis, not outlandish takes, and is often joined by masterminds of the game like Tim Legler to dive deep on rookie reports, trade breakdowns, and why is mean mugging now a tech? You won't find another outlet that covers the game as comprehensively and with such insight as JJ does it on The Old Man and the Three. Make this your companion podcast during the playoffs. Listen to The Old Man and the Three ad-free on Wondery Plus or wherever you get your podcasts.
Is ineffective because no one can see him. And we just look ragged. We're not balanced. There's no one on the left side of the floor. We do this a lot. Play. And we just don't. We don't get anything out of it. Another miss screen, nothing, pump fake, throwing some stuff up. So we look good. We have won 10 of the last 11 now. Sorry if that was a little long-winded. I just think there are some places where we can just tighten it up even a bit more.
Well,
Look, no one's perfect. Even the best baseball player strikes out when the bases are loaded. The best golfer sometimes three-putt with the tournament on the line. So if you feel like you're coming up short in the bedroom, it's perfectly okay. But if it's bothering you, there are options. Go get to roman.com/heatbeat21 now. With Roman, you can get a free online evaluation and ongoing care for ED, all from the comfort and privacy of your own home. A U.S. licensed healthcare professional will work with you to find the best treatment plan. If medication is appropriate, it ships to you for free with two-day shipping. And the whole process is discreet and straightforward. Getting started is simple. Go get to roman.com/heatbeat21 and complete an online visit. Take care of your ED without leaving home. Complete the online visit today to connect with a doctor and take care of it. Go get to roman.com/heatbeat21 to get $15 off your first month. Look, that's a straightforward way to take care of your ED. Get to roman.com/heatbeat21. Go get started to save $15 on your first month of treatment.
You're muted.
Excellent. Oh, there.
Excellent, yes. Production by me. That was not Brass's fault. I have control of these things too. No, I thought that last play was excellent because, and it just shows that for some reason there's these points in the game where they forget how to play offense.
It just gets stupid, yeah.
But is it – and here's my question, and for everybody. Is it stupid or is it because for them to execute offensively takes such a high energy level that because they don't have enough guys outside of Jimmy, Goron's hobbled, and Kendrick is playing bad again, they don't have enough guys that can just go and create – for others by themselves. Tyler had a good fourth quarter. Right. He had a good second quarter. But outside of those guys, they don't even have the Terrence Ross
right,
types.
Right.
Like is it the fact that they don't is it bad offense or are they getting lackadaisical or is it because what they need to do to generate offense takes so much energy that at certain points of the game you can't sustain that for 48 minutes.
Right. It takes such a concerted effort for these players to be able to do that because, like you said, the skill set level, it depreciates player to player, right? So while Tyler had, I don't know, what, 20? Even just that simple cut, instead of him actually like cutting away from the defense, he literally cut right into the defensive player.
Yep.
So that, you know, so to me, that just shows that at that moment, he had a glitch.
Yep. Those are lack of focus plays, yeah. Right? If you know you're in the waning stages of the game and you don't have the talent, you don't have the body, so then you have to be even more right. efficient focused. In your cuts. You got to make your cuts make sense. Yeah. You can't just be diving straight into the nigga that's waiting for you at the block. That's when you're tired. That's when, like, the mental stuff has to turn it on.
Right.
Gee, are we overstating a lot of the stuff? And it's just about the fact that they don't – like, they've played – Of teams with their top three players, of any, you know, kind of high-level playoff team, I mean, I think what is the number of minutes that Goran, Bam, and Jimmy have played together? It's like 87 minutes on the year. Right. It's absolutely ridiculous. Like, are we overstating what's wrong with this offense, and it's just that they don't have their best three players?
So those three have played 79 minutes this season. They're plus That's five for 100
Bro,
seasons.
Listen. Yeah. Gee, wait a
that
second.
The whole season.
Gee,
that's like.
Gee, say that shit again for the Bam, people in the back.
Jimmy Butler, Goran Dragic, and Bam Adebayo have played 79 minutes this season. It's middle of March. Yeah, they're plus five. Yeah. I mean, the season's over halfway done.
Yeah.
Conversely, Jimmy and Kelly have played almost 500 minutes together. They play 541 minutes together. By the way, they're plus 13.15. That's really good.
That's why they look good together.
They're one of the best duos in the league. Like they're.
That's why they look good together.
They're better than Rudy and Donovan together. They're better than LeBron and AD together. It's like kind of funny.
No matter how we dog Kelly,
yeah.
No matter how we dog Kelly, but it's the reps. He's getting these reps with Jimmy, and that's why he's looking good. I mean, he's not having the glitches. Either the shot goes in or it doesn't. You're right, though. It is too many fucking numbers on hand all the time. But he's not having these glitches because he's used to running the court with Jimmy.
Yeah.
Alf, to kind of what you and Tiff were saying before, like, they run a lot of very involved sets, and they're one of the mm-hmm. fewest isolation teams in the league. And mm-hmm. as a pick and roll team, they don't run as much of it as other teams. So, like, really, mm-hmm. when you know, you can't run these, like, Spain pick and rolls, you can't run these Iverson cuts, you can't run all this stuff every single possession. It's tiring. It's a lot of screening. It's a lot of moving, and Duncan's really the only guy doing it. So, I mean, sometimes you just need some high pick and roll, some isolation, get you a pull-up or something.
But they only got one guy. They got right. two guys who can do it.
And they got one and a half.
Old and played yep. Eastern Block minutes, and those are extra minutes.
I mean, in theory, I think that this offseason they kind of thought Tyler would be a better player. Yes.
That's exactly
yeah. what yeah. yeah.
I think that and they thought wrong. We can
and
kind
I don't
of
think they thought. No, I don't think they thought Kendrick would have regressed to where he was earlier. He was where he was earlier. Then he hit this peak that he just kind of came back off of. But I feel like they banked on that right. steady piece of improvement also.
Yeah, I think after what they saw Tyler at the end of last season, I think they expected yeah. to be able to rely on him a little more.
Right. Which is fine.
Lack,
you
with
should.
A lack of bodies early on.
Honestly. Come on, Tiffy. No. What I'm
second
saying
string.
Is.
Second no, but, string.
Listen to what I'm saying. You should. Guess what? He's a professional. It's his job. So if you're remaining here, yo, carry these yeah. groceries.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Like you got at some point we can't say, oh, they wanted to rely on him, but he wasn't ready. Yeah. This is on the job training. You got to get ready. Yeah. This
oh,
is
no,
it.
I agree. That wasn't in defense of him. I think that's just.
But
no, Brass, I wasn't coming for you. No. I'm just coming for people who just keep saying, oh, but it's like,
but
this
you
is
saw,
all
you saw what he did. He became Jimmy's running partner again.
Yeah.
In that fourth quarter. And in the second quarter without Jimmy, him, like, if it wasn't for him and Duncan in that yeah. second quarter, it could, like, you could have gone into halftime at like a 12, 14 point deficit.
Right.
Like, they just went on a single handed run by themselves. Like, and they, you know, they did their jobs, man. Like, you just got to say that.
You know where I feel like they're at right now? There was a stretch last season where they got major contributions from a bunch of different guys at different times in the season.
Yeah.
Like, and not even different times in the season, and different times within the same stretch of games. There was a Kendrick game. There was a Tyler game. Duncan with nuts. Bam with nuts. There was never really a game until that one. Who was it? The fucking Pacers were like four of them had 20 or something
yeah.
like ridiculous. Like there was never really, really a game where, you know, we've seen all of our three key guys and the two most important, you know, kind of supporting pieces, you know, click together. And in a weird way, that can be your argument for depth, right? That even when we're all not clicking as one, we're still finding ways to pull right. the shit out. But goddamn, it's dragging. It's yeah. like, it's sometimes hard to watch. So I know it's hard right. on the body, on the psyche. Like we need, you know, a few more of them at a time to be on together.
Siobhan, this season is quarter to quarter with these guys.
Yeah.
But one thing I think, and I'm going to give it a G because he's been banging this drum, not just a Jim VP. And I think we on this show, we are very hard. Yes, we have heard of Jim VP. we are very hard on Kelly Olynyk on this show. But what do we always say about him, Tiff?
He all we got.
He all we got.
That is the best option on this team.
People keep laughing, but why I say that?
There
because I 100% love Bam, but he injured. Yeah. You know who hasn't been injured? Kelly O.
And he has been
wood you can find right now.
Exactly.
right.
Oh shit! Here we go.
Damn. Jesus. Well, he all we got.
But what? And this is not just for me. It's not net rating. It's not, and net rating backs it up. But gee, I watched this team, and they are better when Kelly Olynyk plays. Like they are just better when he plays, whether he's making shots or not. Like somebody had a and it's funny. We see all these defensive reels of Bam showing out on perimeter players, tracking guys, mm-hmm. moving his feet, you know, being in position. We never see that on Kelly. Somebody put a reel of Kelly the other day. he out here doing that shit too. Like he ain't sagging back in the paint. He ain't joking,
hustling.
Noah.
It's funny. He's hustling. It took credit. Spo years and a lack of bodies. Spo years to play Kelly like this. Because we always, for multiple seasons now, we've been just like, how come Kelly didn't get any minutes tonight?
Basically, there's no options left because Myers hurt his shoulder and turned into a racist. And so now,
what a correlation. Who would have known?
Hot and ready.
I don't ever had knee injuries because shit.
One of the worst things that happens to professional players is when they're injured and they got to be home and they got nothing else to do but go live all the time. That's when they get in trouble. You know, it's just like, no, you can't be on a hot mic all the time. This ain't the locker room, bro. Anyway, Kelly, like, you've been banging the drum for Kelly. Like, Kelly has been, he's been a top three or four player. He's been their third best player this year.
Probably based off availability. That's what
availability is a big part of it. Been their third best player this year.
About third or fourth. I mean,
and they're three games over 500, and they have a home court. Right now, they have home court in the playoffs.
Mm-hmm. So with Kelly, I think there's a couple of things. One, like, credit to Spo, because they really brought him up closer to the level of the screen and not so much as like a sinking big, which I think Spo's like, okay, we trust you to move. And he's really, when they trap on the pick and roll, like, he's going in with his chest and his body. He's not, you know, he doesn't have the longest arms, and we know he doesn't have great hands, and he fouls when he reaches. But I think that adjustment from Spo has been really good for him. I think his rotations have always been really good. He's been crisp. He's just tough because he's not, like, you know, he's not as strong or whatever, so he's not going to get the block shots, and he's not going to contest hard at the rim. But I think kind of putting him a little higher.
You wanted to say he's white.
In the pick and roll. No, I mean, because
he's crafty.
I mean, he's not a strong guy, and he doesn't have long arms, and he's not really going to bother you at the rim. Like, when he's a help, they're not using him as a help defender anymore, which they were before. They have
Duncan's a help defender, which is crazy.
It's really strange.
Mm-hmm. And on offense, I mean, he runs a handoff really well because he's unlike Bam, he's willing to keep it and go. He's also like a better shooting threat. And I know that he hasn't shot the ball well, and like, he has to shoot the ball better, but teams really respect him and they guard him. And I think the lineups with him at the five, Andre at the four, and Jimmy at the three have been really good because they just move a ton, and he's a good slipper. He's a good cutter. He's just very active in the offense. And he's always like Duncan. He's always like doing something. Like, not a knock on Andre, but like, a lot of Andre's offense, he's like stands in a corner, right?
That angle three that none of us ever want to see him shoot again.
The Heat don't. I mean, Kelly's a guy that's like screening, passing, involved, cutting. He's like doing shit, right? And that matters. And like, that's just the activity. I mean, it doesn't necessarily because he's a like this great player, but he's a willing participant in their. Sometimes I imagine it's a pain in the ass offense to run, but he's willing to run it.
Right.
We're past the 40-minute mark, so we're gonna start talking about some other things. And I think there was I want to hear your guys' take, because I think Siobhan was on the pregame show. They talked about it a little bit, but I think you dropped out before they really got into it. This whole idea of this LaMarcus Aldridge trade, where it's what's the trade that was proposed that's running around Twitter?
Like Myers, Avery Bradley, Mo Harkless, KZ for LaMarcus Aldridge. I don't like that.
Wait, was
that
KZ
don't sound in? Free.
I saw a version of it with KZ.
There was a version KZ with KZ. Floated.
I don't. Yeah,
I don't like that version.
I don't like that.
KZ played himself out of the trade.
Yeah,
it don't sound free to me. I don't like that.
Without KZ, I still think that's a reasonable.
I like the trade without KZ.
Yeah.
I don't like it without KZ. I don't think they should give up. I mean, we can say what we want.
I'm worried about giving up. Redacted? Honestly, I'm worried about giving up none right now at this moment.
No, you can't.
But he's in the trade.
I didn't see that.
No,
I saw one.
The ones I've seen is a bunch of guys who don't play for LaMarcus Aldridge.
Yeah, it's like Avery redacted.
I saw the one with Kendrick.
Oh, no.
Oh.
Oh, wait. Siobhan.
We lost you.
I saw the one with Kendrick, and I didn't see the one with KZ.
Her computer didn't care for that trade.
No. Yeah, I'm just saying, if the one I saw that somebody threw none in the trade, I'm not a fan of that at all.
I wouldn't trade anybody. I'd really welcome it in a buyout, but like
I don't want to give up. I don't know if they want. I mean, if they want to take Rolf, they can.
The one take that I saw that was very which made a lot of sense to me is that, okay, let's say the trade is Avery, Harkless, and Leonard. Mm-hmm. For LaMarcus. Why does that make sense for the Spurs? That's three expiring contracts and a shit ton of money off your books.
Right.
And maybe you throw in a second rounder, no first rounder, but you throw in a second rounder, a little bit of draft considerations. I wouldn't even throw in a second rounder, but let's say that is the trade, right? Yes, you would rather have LaMarcus Aldridge for the free 99. But what it does, that's two roster spots now. Mm-hmm. You open up for this buyout market that looks to be not robust, but you can add serviceable players in this buyout market. So I do understand why you would do something like that, where it's almost just like, it's like the trade last year. You trade guys that are not contributing, that aren't even playing. You trade them for guys that can, like, listen, bodies that are available to you. And Myers Leonard isn't available to you. Right. Avery Bradley isn't available to you. Those are dead roster spots.
If that's the trade, yeah, that's good.
Mo Harkless, dead roster spot. You know,
I
mean,
I would like to see Avery Bradley and see what he can, because we haven't seen.
Right, that's what I said last time.
Yeah,
I'd like to see him get in a good 3-4 games to even see what he has.
Yeah,
because when he did play, he looked good.
Yeah.
He looked like he solved some of those point of attack defense, and if let's say they do something like that and they free up two roster spots, who was on that buyout market that could help them right now?
To be honest with you, I think I'd rather take DeMarcus and the buyout than LaMarcus for that trade, only because if they're really going to be involved at the deadline. They can't be, like, let's say they do that deal, right? And they give redacted and they give all that salary for LaMarcus.
Then why are you saying redacted?
I don't know.
Because we're not saying.
Call him out for his racist. Racist ass Myers. Just call him racist ass Myers.
Let's say they do that. Let's say they
call him Ram.
Let's say they do the LaMarcus deal, and then the trade deadline actually comes for like players of consequence. They don't have anything to trade anymore because Olynyk and Andre, those guys are important. So if you trade Olynyk and Andre to get to salary, now you trade two important rotation pieces and maybe you might get better because you get back a better guy or a more useful guy. But, you know, I would not trade those kind of salary pieces that you can use for something that matters. That's my thing. I mean, it depends on how you feel about LaMarcus, but I'd rather get DeMarcus for free than give up all that salary that you can use for something else for LaMarcus.
I agree with you there, but I also don't think anybody's talking about Olynyk or
I'd call their bluff. I'd call the Spurs bluff, and I'm just like, well, buy him out. I mean, if you're like seriously going to move him, like I don't think anybody's going to.
But why would, like, if it's Myers, Bradley, and Harkless.
Okay.
If that's the trade, like, why? Who cares?
Okay, then let's say a guy like Lowry or Barnes or the kid in Cleveland.
Oh, you're right. Because
you need those salaries. Yeah, you need those salaries to get to somebody else.
And like, I think if it was a legitimate good player, I don't wait. You know, you the bird in hand. Right, but I don't think LaMarcus is like considerably going to change their team. And when there's something pretty similar available in DeMarcus Cousins that you can just get for free, like if you really want like a big man to kind of eat up some minutes, right? Like I think you can get DeMarcus over
one trade, Brass,
I just want to say that it's funny that the Weird Al pregame show the
one time for the WAP. WAP.
Yeah.
WAP. All right, go ahead.
One trade that's been thrown out there is for Kyle Lowry, and that includes, I don't even know, I don't have it in front of me, but I know one player that's been mentioned in that is Goran Dragic, and I just want to say that after watching this game tonight, that lob from Goran to Jimmy,
it was so cute
that Jimmy gave Gorn's not going anywhere.
Gorn ain't getting traded.
But ultimately it's Jimmy's call. But I just do not see Gorin going anywhere.
No, the thing is, nobody wants right. Gorin.
Because it's Jimmy's call, Gorin's not going anywhere.
Yeah, and I can't see teams asking for him.
The thing is, if you want Gorin, it's because of the expiring money.
Right.
We have plenty of expiring money that matches Goron's money. Like the teams that want Gorin are the teams that need a six-man backup point guard to make a championship push. Right. Those are the teams we're dealing with on a trade. Like, we're dealing with teams that are just, you know, basically giving up on the season. None of those teams want Goran Dragic. Like, you can give them – we have a ton of dead money sitting around. Like, why would you give up Goran Dragic? It doesn't make any sense.
I also think that cap space is a little overrated this offseason because, like, the major players are off the board, and unless you think you're going to be, like, in the mix for Kawhi –
right.
Like, there's really, it's really, no. It's really not a great free agency, and like
I think Jack.
Go ahead, Siobhan.
We lost you.
But yeah, I mean, I think that there's not a ton in free agency, so I think kind of the idea of having cap space is a little overrated right now, unless you're trying to duck the tax or something.
By the way, I will be remiss to not mention the fact that what's the games this week? Tuesday and Wednesday, right? We got a back to back.
Cleveland, Memphis.
So Tuesday we're going to do the LSO Sports Takeover. I think Wednesday we're going to have a guest from the Levitard Show. Any of you guys who are fans of the Levitard Show, we have a very good relationship with them. We've had a few guys: Chris Cody, Roy Bellamy. We're still hoping to get Mike Ryan. If he stops ducking me, I reached out for Billy Gill today, but we're going to have a guest from, the Levitard Show this week. And Wednesday, G, we're going to have a watch party. Talk a little bit about that because I didn't participate in the last one. I really, really want to do this one because I heard the last one was so much fun. Siobhan, you were on the last one, right? Siobhan's frozen again. She looked like
it was Jack, Brass, same. Frankie.
No, I haven't been on one yet. No, I'm not. I haven't been on yet. I want to be on one.
All right. So, yeah. So, G, tell people how they can participate in the watch party. I know it was a good time last time.
So, if you're in chat, you can click the link that's right there, patreon.com/MiamiHeatBeat. And if you are part of our $10 patron tier, you get access to our virtual watch parties, which is you get on Discord, which is a web-based application. You don't have to download anything, and we'll give you all the links. We set you up super easy, and we chat. So we have a stream. We talk. You have to provide your own stream. We can't do that for legal reasons, obviously. But you know, you get a stream, and we all watch the game, and we're all on a call together, and it's really fun. We watch basketball together. We make jokes. We kind of break down the game. We talk about random stuff. It's a lot of fun. And I know that maybe, like, you know, do you think $10 is a lot? But like, if we were to do a watch party at Duffy's or at Miami's Grill or something, I mean, you're probably buying wings and a beer. That's going to cost you more than $10. So, like, you know, I think it's a pretty nominal fee, and you help us out, and we all have fun, and we watch the game together. And
well, G is saying, get drunk at your house and watch the game with us. Exactly. I'm going to be honest. I'm going to figure out this next watch party. I feel like they're pushing me to doubt. Do I have to be on Discord? Because it's Discord shit.
I know. We'll give you a link. We'll make it easy for you. And by the way,
I don't like new technology.
It's the return of Justice Winslow. And you know that our show loves Justice Winslow. And we're going to have a lot of fun with Justice Better. And, you know, that's going to be a good game because Memphis is playing really good basketball. They have a really fun team. And, you know that Jimmy's going to go after it with Justice and Ja and all those guys. So, join it. It's a lot of fun. I mean, we spend the whole game laughing, talking. Jack is so fun in those because Jack's just a shitster. So you want to be there. It's a lot of fun. Oh, hope Siobhan can make it. Alf, if you can. It's a lot of fun.
I'll be there. I will definitely be there. So Wednesday night.
So
you're looking at the Patreon tiers. For the Heat Beat starter tier, you can join us for the watch party. We are going to have a shit ton of fun. I'll probably get really sauced up for that game.
Plug the pot.
We have an update to a Patreon tier. So if you're a $5 patron, so we do our locker room sessions after game days twice a week. And so that's a fun thing where we kind of go on this app if you have an Apple device, and we talk. You guys can enter like a voice chat room, and you can talk to us, ask us questions, and we do like an Alf and I and whoever else does like a little mid-morning show, and we've had a lot of fun with it. And that just goes live and the audio disappears. And we thought, hey, why don't we just record that and give that to our patrons? Because our pod feeds are already super filled. We post pods almost like 6 days a week. So if you want a little extra, if you want that kind of little recovery time, as we like to call it, join our $5 tier. And listen, and if you have an iPhone or you want to get in or you're available at that time, join us. We tweet out the links from our heat from our at MIA Heatbeat account all morning. So you won't miss it. Don't worry. And check it
no,
out.
That I will tell you that that locker room show is hilarious. I think you guys need to understand the best part about it is hosted by whoever is awake. It is a shit show every day trying to figure out who's gonna be on the show, who's awake. Because we're gonna do one at 10 a.m. tomorrow. I don't know how I'm gonna feel. I've been drinking all night. And then normally we're all a little bit groggy. Most of us, I know me and G both do the show from our bed. Like
I
was
driving the other day and you got the day.
was driving to work. it's a good time because it's the only platform that we have where it's not just like the chat. And the thing is, we love the chat. That's one of the reasons we switched to these live shows, because we did podcasts for years and we would have to get feedback the next day and from Twitter. We get live feedback from you guys on these live streams and it's so much fun. I have made such a big deal about Brass. I need to see the chat. I need to see the chat. Like I feed off of the chat. You know, mm-hmm. I went off on Leo and I love you, Leo. Leo's in here every day. Listen, Leo, follow me on Twitter. Hit me up. I'll follow you back. But we have so much fun with the chat and these did I say our bed when it came to me and G? Phrasing.
I'm not going to say anything.
But we have so much fun with the chat. Locker Room is the only one where you guys can legit call in, like old school radio. And people can just, you guys can ask to speak. We never say no. Like if you request to speak, we're bringing you in. The only thing we ask you is say first time, long time. Before you start talking. So check us out on Locker Room. Download the app. We're going to tweet it out. No slurs, please. I don't care if you know what they mean or not. but get in, man. Tiff, you and Siobhan, you hosted one on Saturday morning. Unsanctioned, by the way. I loved it.
Unsanctioned. We went rogue.
Yeah, you got.
We said fuck Miami Heat beat.
I just woke up and I saw Siobhan in our DM chat, and she's like, "Where is everybody? Where's the locker group today? Right? It's 10 a.m." And she's like, "As a room," and I wake up like an hour later.
Is my camera right?
No, you freezing like a motherfucker.
Keep talking though. We can hear you.
What the fuck?
Siobhan's camera's like crazy.
So I woke up super early. And then I came back and no one was logged in. And I was like, well, what the hell? I thought we were going to do one after every game. I know it was two for the week. I said, fuck it. And so just logged on and Tiff came and she held me down. We had a good time.
I'm sure Blue Wire appreciates the extra work.
Problem.
Shout out to Blue Wire.
It was cool.
Y'all out here doing fucking shows for free. Told y'all about that shit.
That's a 2015 Heatbeat model.
All right, keep look. You're gonna look up in 2021, G, and we gonna be ghosts.
What do you mean? Wait,
keep fucking around saying stuff.
We only get paid for 2 a week.
That's the five reasons model.
We have a contract.
You have a contract, motherfucker.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.